February 12th, 2021, it's the Watt for Pedro Show.
We'll be right back. can watch a million ways to die. What you wanna get on the internet, you can find a million things to buy. What you wanna get is on the internet, out in no place, become the place to be. There's nothing here to see, when did we volunteer?
Show. Happy Friday. Second Friday, I think, of the month. And Brother Matt, quit quarantino mode, so he's still at the Love Grotto, a couple miles south, Pleasure Point. But I am not totally man alone because of those geniuses in Estonia with their Skype software invention. I got Brother Derek Day with me. Yeah, welcome aboard. Derek, what part?
Hey, let's... Sorry.
You know, go ahead.
Sorry, Mike. Well, how you doing? I'm so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
What part of SoCal are you talking to me from?
I'm from Los Angeles, California, maybe like Northeast LA kind of.
I'm talking right now, at this moment, not where you're from.
I'm still here right now, yeah.
Yeah, but what part? Northeast?
Yeah, Northeast LA kind of thing. Well, and
Lincoln Heights?
Yeah, I'm more like Cypress Park, Eagle Rock.
Okay. Kind of thing. Yeah, Nels Klein lived in Eagle Rock for a while. Cypress Park, okay.
Nice.
So, look, I should tell people, we started off with John Coltrane doing Iris, and then Derek Day, Click on Me, which you wrote with Vernon Reid, right?
Yeah, I did. A couple years ago in New York, yeah.
Yeah, he's an incredible musician. Great cat. Look, let's talk about your journey through music, Brother Derek. What is your earliest, now you're from SoCal, but give me your earliest musical memory.
Earliest musical memory, probably listening to Michael Jackson Off the Wall, when I was a young, maybe like two or three or something. My mom would blast it at home and
Great memory. God, two or three. But that's a great fucking album, too.
Dude, it's amazing.
You're going to be starting something, right?
Great. Yeah, it's got to be starting. So, yes,
gotta
dude.
Be starting. Yeah, love that, too.
Damn, that's sick, yeah.
So let me ask you, now the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Not really, at first, but maybe like, we all started kind of taking like after school classes and stuff. I have three brothers and we kind of just got into it. My parents didn't really play at all. And we have like relatives like in different countries that played guitar to an extent.
Well, I just wonder about situation. You know, we all got different journeys how we got to today on this music path shit, right? And so
yeah.
I'm wondering about, you know, instruments in the pad. So they come later, but not at first. Well, what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah, eventually I joined, I did orchestra at my high school and also did some trombone and learned
the bone.
Music theory kind of.
The bone bass clef. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. What about the first fucking record you bought with your own money? It wasn't that Mike Jackson record.
No. With my own money. That's a good question.
When you're a kid, you don't have a lot of money. So when you first spend it on a record, right, it's something.
Yes. I think it was Cream of Clapton.
Ah.
The best of Eric Clapton. Okay. That best of kind of album.
Right, anthology. Okay. And the first gig you went and saw?
Oh, like major gig or any gig?
Oh, any gig.
Any.
Live music, right?
Live music. Dang, I mean, I want to say, I have no idea. I mean.
That's all right. It's the Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Maybe it's like, I think I can only remember my first concert, kind of, and it was just The Who. And I was like, damn, you know?
Okay. Big
the
pad.
Who.
It was at a big pad, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, the Hollywood Bowl, I think. So sick.
It's kind of a big pad. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, look. You end up on the fucking guitar. How'd that happen?
Actually, I'm a big Clapton fan. And when I heard, like, the Layla riff, I was like, damn, that's, like, I didn't know what it was. Just wanted to, like, get into that sort of thing and heard these cool things from Hendrix and everything, of course. Thanks to my brothers. And, pretty much just started. I picked it up and I realized that it happened pretty quickly. So, you know, street performers. I come from street performing and, like, I see a lot of them and, like, it just makes sense. They get a little tip. They play some music. They feel good. They're outside. I'm like, oh, I did that for 10 years or something.
Down in Santa Monica. Your brothers, they're older?
Yeah.
Okay,
all older.
Okay. So big influence. I understand. So the first guitar you got, was it acoustic or an electric?
Electric, actually. It was an
And so you must have got an amp too, right?
Yeah, but it was terrible. It's just like I don't even know what it was.
Look, we all got to start somewhere, right? Come on, it's all right.
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember the first song you learned on the guitar?
First song? First song, like full length, huh? Dang. Probably like, maybe like Crossroads or Purple Haze or something like that.
Crossroads, Robert Johnson. But probably the Cream version, Wheels of Fire. Cream. I love the way Jack Bruce just rolls Eric Clapton on Wheels of Fire, that live version. Did you have a guitar teacher or did you learn man alone?
Kind of man alone. My brother showed me some stuff, but, you know, you just kind of like run ahead.
Right. And you probably learned, played off with records, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
My
ears away.
Now, what about the trip where after school you got the garage band, the basement band, the, you know, bedroom band? Did you do some of that?
Of course, yeah. I was in, like, a bunch of bands in high school and, like, and I was in a couple labels and stuff.
I want to know the early days, right, because you only had that once. Do you remember your first gig with a band?
First gig with a band, that would be, man, that's, I mean, it was at like an after school program kind of thing.
That's all right. That's a gig. Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Me, it's just me and a drummer too. It's,
no bass. No bass. Oh, that poor lonely kick drum.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. You know, I'm a little prejudiced towards the bass guitar, a little bit. Jack Bruce, blame Jack Bruce. Look, was it a success? Was it pants shitter? They're always pants shitters for me. I always get scared.
Oh, man, it was a pants shitter for sure. I think it turned out okay, you know, like.
Okay, great.
It came out good.
Now, look, Derek, you're a fucking great singer. When did you start singing?
Maybe like right around when I started playing, like maybe not at 9 or 10 or something, or like more around like 12. But like,
but you weren't in the choir.
No, not in the choir.
Okay. Because some people, right, that they sing in church or they sing at school. So I was just wondering, you're just singing to records while you're playing your guitar, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and or just like singing along to like the solos or something and kind of like learning with that.
Yeah, sure. I still compose that way, right? I use a little recorder and you hum it in there. Instead of having a fucking machine in your hands, use your head and then try to translate it to your fingers in your machine. I want to play a song here, Social Kitten. I like that title.
Maybe I'm certain it is. Jamming in the Van 2020 at NAMM. This song is called There Is No Me Without You. Look inside past what you do. It's on the shelf. It's right here, right in front of you. I might as well turn myself right into. I'm drunk in hell. There is no me without you.
Why for Pedro show. Yeah, that chunk of music started off with Derek Day doing Social Kit. Then Ava Mendoza with Verso 2. Wharton Tears with the second movement of his Symphony No. 9 Beyond. It's called Imagination. It's a rough version because he wrote for Symphony, but in the meantime, he parted it all out using MIDI and that stuff. Thurston Moore, brand new album. A tune called The View. He did it at home during this sitch. Hans Rotten from Switzerland with Dissonant Loop. Balmas Prandit from the DC. These guys recorded like 5,000 songs and did 5 gigs over 40 years. Mystery Squid. Devil Hoof after that, which is Devin Hoff's kind of man alone on the stand-up bass prac unit, Ursula. And finally, something live from Derek Day. There is no me. There is no me. So, did that two-piecer, you and that drummer, did that band have a name?
Yeah, it was Garage Garbage, I think.
kind of rhymes.
Yeah, it does.
GG Allen, you guys were getting ready for the big time. Now, anyway, after school, did you go to further school, like music school? College, yeah. That kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. Pasadena City College. I took, some, actually really more music history, but also like trumpet and a couple things.
Okay.
I'm really just a year kind of, I'm not that great, but it was so cool to get my hands around one and like figure that out. Like,
you know a cat who's really good on the bass but does trumpet when he was younger?
Who's that?
Fleet.
Fleet?
Yeah, that's why he opened up. Yeah, Flea opened up his Silver Lake School of Conservatory because we went back to the high school where he learned trumpet. They had stopped the music program. So he said, it. I'm going to open up my own music school so kids can still learn. Yeah. So that's why I always ask about school, because some schools, they don't think it's necessary to have arts and stuff like that. So, let's get back. So, did Garage Garbage continue, or was it short-lived?
It went for pretty short-lived, yeah. That's the short answer.
Okay, so what happened after that? As far as, did you join bands, or did you start your own bands?
I usually started my own bands. I had a really cool, this trio that we released an EP, we're called The Kidneys, and it was the Conformity EP, and it's kind of like a kind of a hard rock, maybe punk on the punker side of hard rock kind of type music, and also all like usually, this band of mine for every year of high school, every summer we would go to CAPSA down in downtown LA, and they had this amazing program where it was teachers from Cal Arts that taught like really good music came down and like. It was like a whole summer from like 9 to 5, and it was so cool. That's when we learned like about cool like Zappa a little bit more. And
was there a trumpet man named Leo Wadada Smith? Because I think he taught at Cal Arts, and he's a very avant-garde, righteous, free music kind of cat. So these folks they expanded your musical horizon.
Oh man, absolutely, and it felt like it affected my writing as well so much. It's just like everything is so subconscious now and easier, freer, kind of. Well, that really kind of helped be creative.
Well, tell me about songwriting. When did you start right away? First, you were copying other guys' songs, right? But when did you start writing your own songs?
Yeah, I think it started kind of right away. Just to, I remember I wrote like a song called like "Where the Hell Are You." It was bad. It was not good. But I was like 12 maybe. And
that's okay. At least you were trying. Yeah, at least you're trying. And I like the idea you started really young. I mean, as a teenager, I wrote only one song. It was kind of mentality because it's the early 70s here in Pedro, and nobody wrote their own songs. Everybody copies shit. So yeah. I had this one song. It was called King of Bass. No, Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space. It was about like playing a bass solo at a gig and blowing the rest of the band off the stage. Obviously, I had issues, There was a lot of hierarchy in them days. It was arena rock days and stuff. So I'm always curious about that. So what was the process? Was did you have a little four track?
At one point, yeah, actually, I had a little four track thing, but it was short lived. It was my brother's actually, and I would borrow friends' interfaces as well. Some, you know, the homie in Atwater would have one, and you know. Just,
so like Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon. You know, Chow, hey, I'll let you use my guitar for a week if I use your, you know. But yeah. I took it more serious. I started paying for. Oh, you know what? The first real time I like went into the studio.
Yeah.
Was. I was like maybe, or I don't know how old I was, but pretty, like 18, 19-ish, 20, and recorded two full-length albums just of my own music and my band's music. And immediately after a band with my brother I had called Hot Stop, we recorded a full-length album. It was right around that time, but that was the first time I was like, this is what it's like to record with, like, or learn. I was, like, learning so much. Like, whoa, this is, like, professional.
So but, it wasn't, like, one song. It was, like, three fucking albums? First time?
Yeah, two of them at once. And then one, like, right after. Okay. Yeah.
Now for you, what was it like? Like, a gig in front of the microphones? Or did you go through the whole shit where you lay down basic tracks and you overdub?
Yeah, overdub. The first two were like super self-funded. Just me and my buddies paid for it, and I paid for the separate. And so we kind of like, we didn't focus too hard on that. Except with the thing I was doing on the side, that took hours on end of mixing for some reason. I don't know why I got like really, I don't know.
Well, can I ask you, did you use a producer or was it self-produced?
It was self-produced.
Oh, that's great. Right away you start, okay. Because, you know, I got to tell you, Derek, a lot of nightmare stories about cats, their first experiences is being like a little toy of a producer.
Right, right.
You know, dangling from puppet strings and shit like that. So I'm so glad. Or like they keep the tapes. They won't give the tapes. Or I guess the hard drives to the dudes. And it's just nightmares I've heard. So now, did you have everything done before guys went in, or did you try to write in the studio?
We had everything done. This band was
smart,
long.
Very smart. Right?
Yeah.
Because a practice pad costs a lot less to rent than a studio.
Yeah. Say that again.
So, what about the touring thing? Did you get into that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just jumped on, right around 2017, I was like 21 or something. Something like that. What would we do? Like, oh yeah, that's when it like started going down. Like I gigged Hollywood every week, like twice a week. And then I got a little bit put in front of some people and I was so fortunate to go on like the Steve Vai tour, which like helped me get the Ted Nugent tour and like the Living Color tour right after that and played with, you know, it was just like, they're like a month, like, each one. Well, the Vai tour was very short. But the other ones were like months or so, like a month or two. And it was something that happened. That's when it really started going down. And I've been in that one greasy band that did the States too, back and forth. And that, you know, we weren't famous and we never became, but it was a good experience. It was really lovely. Like five dudes, one van, sleeping in the van, floor of the van.
Oh, yeah. But so you did both things, opening up and then your own little tour also. Can I ask you about the Living Color experience? Did you get to meet the bass man, Doug Wimmish?
Dude, yeah. He's a
huge hero of mine. I love that guy.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, he's mind-blowing. He has his own solo at the show, and I would watch it every night, and I'm like, this is crazy.
A lot of pedals, right?
Yeah.
He goes back with the Sugar Hill Gang and stuff. He can play without pedals. He can do anything. He's just the biggest hero. He was with Mark Stewart and Mafia over in England. And yeah, I know he's been playing with these cats for a while now. In fact, I first saw him play with him, I think, in Hungary at a festival maybe 10 years ago. So it's been a while. I played way long time ago with the other version they had with the God, what was his name? I can't remember his name. Muggs or Miggs. Or a guy Miggs. Was on, yeah, something like that. But a great band. I was wondering if you got to. I think he's a Connecticut dude, Doug Wimbush. He's just a big inspiration to me, man.
Wow, that's so awesome.
I know it's your interview, so I don't bring a bogart on you like that. But they were positive experiences, because some people have real sad things opening up for people.
Yeah, yeah.
But you probably went in there with no ego, no chip, so looking for the opportunity, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to play. I was just so grateful to play. Yeah.
See, that makes a big difference. Big difference, you know. Look, we're at the end of the first hour of the February 12th, 2021 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show with special guest Derek Day. Hold tight for hour two. February 12th, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Wisdom and wisdom and wisdom. long time, didn't know what to make out of you. Your defiance, your spirit seemed to have been crushed. Clawed its way back some lonely avenue to a place impenetrable to hurt and fear. Yet that hurt and fear still remains, locked in your heart like amber, etched in your tattoos. Images of love and pain, oh, I scream at you down on Pacific Avenue. Wind chaser, riding on your Harley down the avenue, wind chaser, can you tell me who that's chasing you? Well, there's a whole year worth of conversations that you never quite figured out. The words you speak because of your fear, oh, of being too vulnerable. But those words will eventually come, tortured in the stains of your tears. Only then will you find some relief or freedom from the ghosts who know your name. Screaming on your Harley down Pacific Avenue. Wind chaser, can you tell me who's been chasing you? Jesus. on your Harley on Pacific Avenue. Wind chaser, and you tell me who's that chasing you? Can you tell me who's chasing who? Thank you.
for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Derek Date and Attached. Attached. Beneath the Ruins, brand new. From these cats. Destiny. James Allen from Pedro here. That's where he lives. And it's kind of about Pedro, right? It's about Pacific Avenue. We got two main drags. This is the older one, right? Pacific Avenue. And this tune, Wind Chaser. Then Network Glass from Baltimore with 1A. Pants Exploder out of Brooklyn. Great studio there. Caesar's Palace. Brother Jason. And Yoga Perv. And finally, Beat With Mine. Derek Day. Now tell us about Attached, Derek.
Attached and also Beat With Mine are two songs that are in the very first album I ever did, my very first solo kind of first attempt at producing anything. And it was done at like a little, you know, a small studio out in Whittaker? Yeah. Whittaker. Wow. Oh, no, Whittier. Sorry.
Whittier. That's where Dick Nixon went to law school.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Also, there was an old, we had an old punk fanzine in the late 70s called Flipside, and that's where they were located.
Cool. Hell yeah. Whittier's sick. Whittier has the spots. Like, there's a lot of great bands out there. But yeah, this was just on like a little studio out there called the Groove Factory. Uh-huh. And my first thing ever, first release.
How long did it take you, Derek?
Oh man, hours on end of weeks. For some reason, it just took like almost a year. And like the mixing was ongoing and ongoing.
Yeah. You mean the tracking was kind of, it was long too, or just the mixing?
Oh, well, the tracking took a minute because I recorded all the guitars and bass and keyboards and, like, vocals. I didn't do the drums. I'm not a drummer. I can't. I mean, I could try, but it's not the real thing. So I had to get my buddies, Nate. On this track, it's Drew Salzman.
Yeah.
So he was in a band with me. We were both in a band, actually, called Hot Stop in the past. Hot Stop is the opposite of Coldplay.
This was with your brother, too, right?
Yeah, that's, yes, yeah.
And what's he work? What instrument he play?
He does a lead guitar really well.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, I stole his licks.
That's what brothers are for, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what about this Beat With Mine? It was just part of the same trip, right? Yeah. Course.
Yeah, same thing. You're gonna hear they sound alike. It's not a little like lower end or like kind of, you know, whatever, but it has a little, you know, story in it, to say the least.
What comes first, music or the words?
Music for me, I think.
Yeah. What about title?
Yeah.
What about title?
Title? Oof. Right after the music, like maybe immediately before the.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
You know what?
Sometimes with the lyrics.
I need the title right at the beginning, or I got no focus, and like hardly anyone I know, they usually say titles last.
Yeah, that's weird. Whoa. The titles first.
Look, you gave me this tune here called Fine Lines. Is this from the same batch?
No, this is currently, right? It's.
Oh, current. Okay.
Greg Ginn breaks out of Alexa. It is 1982 in my kitchen when a 12-year-old blonde bored kid listened to Hall & Oates. Punk rock blinded me in the future. Blitzkrieg bopping, stomping. But that was the future. A turning page halfway raised that closes the book.
Okay.
Watt for Pedro Show, that chunk of music, Derek Day, Fine Lines. And people, this is coming out in like a couple weeks, I think 2 weeks, right? The 25th of February, you were saying?
20th.
And then we 25th. Had Dulce Drone from Northern Ireland doing Good People. Mike Cooper, Giacinto One. I Will Not Lie to You from Deep in the Woods, 66. This is out of Ireland, but Dublin. You don't say Southern, you say Republic of, right, yeah. And Phil Venable out of North Carolina with Turning Page. And finally, Another Day from Derek Day. Ha! you worked in your name there. That was clever.
Yeah, you understand, Mike. No one got that. No one got it.
That's what bass players are for. But you say you do your own bass on the records.
Not on this, not recently, on Attached and Beat With Mine, yeah. But then I realized it's going to get another hand in there.
Okay. It is different, right?
Yeah. It does something else.
Yeah, like another perspective, a counterpoint? Or
yeah, or like a new feeling, or like a... Yeah, absolutely. Like all of it's just perspective on the.
No, I'm asking you, Derek, because some people say success is getting to do everything yourself and having your way over everything, and you say no, bring in another dude.
Yeah, after a minute, you have to kind of step aside. Absolutely, like I love the because it's not just I did these first couple songs, Beat With Mine, Attached, and there's some more actually, and. I noticed that on the record. I was like, huh, this is a little too perfect or a little too intentional. Or I don't know. It was weird. I was like, maybe we should just kind of... I'll write the parts, though. Like, I usually write a lot of the parts. But I'm like, throw your own thing on it.
Okay. And is it like a circle of friends, or do you go searching out cats, or what?
Kind of both. I've played with, my very first drummer ever. He's played on Another Day and a couple other songs, the Benny and the Jets recording I have. And then there's also just playing the strip, kind of being like at the Whiskey and stuff, meeting like guys from like Walter Eno from like Survivor, all these like amazing session guys that's just good to know. They're like seasoned, dialed into their instrument, like shoo, like that.
Let me get an understanding of the process. Do you just play them the tunes, or do you show them the parts that you've written out for the bass? Or do you play them what you got on the guitar and say, hey, what would you come up with for this?
So kind of all of that, Usually the first, for a while, though, I wrote out, the parts, and I would show them on the guitar, kind of like, this is what I would want, and then we just play it back in rehearsal, like, bang, bang. But then lately, though, I'm like, yeah, throw your, more. I find more and more. I'm like, just do your thing on it. Do you. I want, you as the artist, because it's, so much cooler. It's, this art project now.
Right. And kind of collab, right? What about, because you say you ain't really a drummer man that much, so do you, teach the drummer, or you let him try out different, hey, run that by me, or how do you figure out the drum parts?
Maybe more the latter. I would maybe say, super brief kind of, description. Maybe something I could beatbox it to a little bit, to an extent.
Oh, use your mouth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. I have to do shit like that because I can't play either. But I try to put the sounds out, and then they try to figure that out, translate it.
Yeah. Hey. That's the very first language, I feel like, is percussion.
Sure.
Bam.
And think about it. I got a theory about that. Maybe the first instrument was a drum, but the drum was actually the earth, and the drumsticks was the bottoms of our feet. And that, so dancing was the first way of playing an instrument.
Damn! That's awesome! That's literally, the way to do it.
That's a fucked up theory. Well, I'm just wondering. I'm pretty sure it wasn't fucking synthesized at first, though. That's a little down the road. But there's some bitchin' synth, man. I mean, there's a cat in Pittsburgh, Mr. Tom. He's got this band called Black Moss Super Rainbow. Sometimes he calls himself Tobacco. And he can rock a fucking synthesizer. So I'm not anti-synthesizer.
Nice.
Did you use any keyboards and synths?
Yeah, I love. Oh man, I love using synths. The latest release, Fine Lines, is like littered with synthesizer.
And is it you playing it?
I play some of them. I play this really cool like Moog from like 1973 on it. That's like you had to tune it and like had to like do it. It took a minute, but it's like this. We played some old synths. I played a couple, and like, you know, the Juno and stuff. But a lot of it, though, was done by Thomas Ross Johansson, who also produced the track. And he owns the studio, and, yeah, he does a lot. He's an incredible keyboardist.
Okay, so this,
just
this,
rips.
This recent record, then, you co-produced?
Oh, yeah, or this record, I was, yeah, pretty much, but I would give it more to Thomas Ross, because he kind of, like, he just kind of made it happen, you know, like, bam. I wrote the music and arranged it, but he was more produced by Thomas.
Yeah, and maybe that's like you letting some other cat play bass, just another perspective?
Yeah, absolutely, and to keep, like, an overview, overall view
right,
of everything.
Right. The forest instead of just the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour of February 12, 2021, edition Watt Peter Show, special guest Derek Day. Hold tight for hour three. Yeah. February 12, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
I'm right in front of you.
Why for Pedro show. Start off the third hour. Derek Day, I'm so sorry, brother. Derek Day, cool. Face me. Then Crane with Happening. The Beggar's Best, The Promises. Champion, Faking It. Oh, Grand Champion, sorry. And that's Peen, people, two E's, right? Champion. And Notes to You, Troz Abramson remix from Sleep Party People. Survival Knife with Roman Fever. Grazing from Sopko, Laswell, Prigden. And finally, the Attitude song, Steve Vai. Did you get to jam with him?
Steve? A couple Mr. times, Vai. Yeah.
Okay. Because that cat can play, right?
That guy, yeah, man, it's crazy being on stage with him.
Did you know the cat named Buckethead?
Yeah, I'm not personally, but no, I'm a huge fan.
But, yeah, I would say, he kind of reminds me a little bit, well, not the outfit, but the playing. They got different outfits, yeah. Like Colonel Sanders Bucket Chicken over his head. But anyway... When you jam with somebody like that, he's pretty generous, right? He just doesn't, like, roll you over, does he? or does he? I don't know.
I've only sang while he played.
Oh, okay.
But... Man, I mean, maybe one time I did something like a quick guitar thing with him, but it wasn't really, I don't know, I've seen him battle, and he has this thing where like he invites people to battle him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because, you know, I guess with you it was more like Paul Stanley and Ace Frehley, you know, not so much of a battle, right?
It would be like a cool combo.
Why did you give me the song, the Attitude song?
I don't have that many songs out. I only have like 7 songs or 8 songs. No.
I understand about that, Derek. Why did you pick that particular song for Mr. Vai?
It was like one of the first songs I ever heard by Vi. Probably the first one. If not, For the Love of God actually might have been the first. But that, no, it was that one, the Attitude song. Cause I saw it on the G3 DVD I had when I was like very young. And, man. So yeah, it's just like, it's just rips. It has a great riff. Killer, like vibe, like boom, heavy and killer.
And like, okay, you heard this when you were really young. You know, they tell you, be careful about meeting your heroes, right?
Yeah.
But was it different? Was he cool people?
Oh, God, he's like the nicest guy ever. Right, like, oh, man.
Because you know about the horror stories, right? You meet the cat and like, oh, my God.
Yeah, never meet your heroes. Yep, yeah, absolutely. I haven't had that yet.
I didn't have that with Doug Wimbush, I'll tell you that, man. That guy was beautiful. In fact, I got to do all of Funkadelic with him, that album Maggot Brain.
Whoa, hell yeah.
This guy invited me up to the Viper Room.
I was there that night. I just was there for like a moment, but... That's so cool.
You know, it was a total surprise to me, Derek. I thought it was, you know... Blues jam in E minor, come up to West Hollywood, what? And I was like, okay, you know, a buddy of mine, Eric, very cool people. And I get up there, and there's Doug Wimbush, there's Blackbird McKnight, and then George Clinton comes up, and we did every song off of Maggot Brain.
That's freaking nuts.
And I remember, you know, back in my mind, we're going into the course, and I looked over at Doug, and he looked over at me, yeah, Watt, you know this song. I really couldn't believe it was happening. You were fucking there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Because, wasn't that, you know Eric McFadden?
That's the guy who invited me, Eric. Yeah, I know him. When he was in New Mexico. I know Eric way back.
Oh, that's awesome, man. He's the coolest dude ever, man.
Small fucking world, man. That was a mind blow of a gig. I couldn't believe it, man. All that stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he invited me and stuff, and, like, man, it was great. I had to, like,
Michael Hampton was
too much
too.
Of it.
Kid Funkadelic, Michael Hampton. I mean, it was a trip. Look, I want to play you, because you gave me some Living Color ones, and I guess this is a song you sang with the guys on tour, Glass Teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sky dreams in colors, and you pull my number. It goes forever without an end. Wrap your mind around that.
Space. What's the point?
purpose. I really mean that from the heart. When you go to bed this evening, ask yourself,
won't you come on, won't you come on, baby? Hey, won't you come on, won't you?
Why for Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Glass Teeth from Living Color. And people, Derek, when he was touring with Living Color, got to sing this song with the guys in the band.
Yeah. I think I mentioned to them that I really loved it. It was the newest, one of their newer songs, and I was like, oh, I just love it. Can you guys play it, like, tonight or something? Because they weren't, I think, at first.
Okay.
And I asked them to, and then they started playing it, and it was, oh, it's just such a great chorus.
I tell you, Corey, a good singer, man.
Oh, great pipes. So sick.
Troopa after that with Glory. They're from Danzig, Poland. Eternal Return, The Sky, Glimpse Trio of Space, and then finally, Living Color with Come On. What'd you call this, your Get Pumped song?
Yeah, hell yeah. I listen to it whenever I'm like, I don't know, I feel like I got, like, you know, play the meanest game of tennis in my life.
You're a tennis player?
Yeah, a little bit. Pretty good. Not bad, not good at all. But yeah, I love to play. I'm playing right after this.
I got fucked up knees. I can't do it. But it'll probably keep you in shape, right?
Yeah, the sprinting is like...
chasing the fucking ball.
Yeah.
So, look, you know the thing, because of the situation and stuff, what about trading files over the internet? Do you do that?
Trading files? Songs, you mean?
Yeah, somebody gives you files. Here's some drum tracks. Play some guitar over this, please.
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's like, I've been doing nothing but that sort of thing. Like, writing demos as well with people and, you know,
I'm glad to hear that. Because a lot of people just bumming, you know, we're going to get through this and stuff. And so in the meantime, you are composing, you are collabing and stuff like
yeah.
that. And you probably don't use the 4-track anymore. You probably go right into a pewter, right?
Yep. I got my MacBook right here.
Right. And what you, like I said, drummer, but do you have any theories about click track? What do you think of that?
Oh, I like the click track. I mean, I like it being, pretty on the click as much as it can be, just because I feel like I'm kind of loose, so I need something to hold me down.
It's like some guardrails?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the best tight. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, inspiration. Is it hard or easy?
It's pretty easy, honestly. I mean, of course we all have moments, but I've learned, like, I think it was like David Lynch would say, like, you have to go out. It's like fishing. You got to go out. You have to go out with the intention. So, like, you go out there and sit quietly and wait for it to come to you. You don't just assume that it's, like, a special thing that happens whenever. You kind of, like, if you put in the time, you got the hours, like, all right, I'll take 5 hours today to, like not text anyone or call anyone, just to be in the room with the instrument. You'll get somewhere eventually, anywhere.
So don't force it.
Don't force it, but also put, like, make time for it and, like, sit down to do it. It's a practice, I think.
Yeah, okay. Now, I know you got this new thing coming out, but are you already working on the next one?
Yeah. And I also, I finished an album, too, an entire album that was done over the, like, Christmas break and everything. And but I don't want to speak too much about that because it needs to be – it's still in the mix. But anyway.
That's okay.
But, yeah.
Keep them wondering. And what about the idea of being a sideman? You ever think of that?
That's awesome. I love being, like you know, whatever, hired or just playing in the back. Like, not maybe full-time. Well, I'm kind of, like...
I'm not saying full-time. I'm saying, like, because you're asking dudes to take direction. Maybe sometimes you put yourself in the same situation where you have to take direction just to know what it's like.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I really don't mind it. I play for this amazing artist out here, Debbie Holiday.
Yeah.
I'm her guitar player, and we gig all the time, or we did. And, it's just, like, such a learning experience.
It's just a different trip, right, when you're helping somebody else, aiding a bet. And maybe it helps you with your own band when you're dealing with your cats.
Absolutely. Yeah, actually, absolutely it does the most. Wow, I never thought about that.
Well, man, you look, you're still a young man. You got a lot under your belt, though, man. So it's okay if you haven't thought about it yet. You're going to think about a lot of stuff as time goes on. And, in fact, you've got enough experiences now. Somebody younger just getting into this racket, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Oh, man, just kind of just be kind. I think be easy to work with and cool. Like, be prepared, you know, like, as well, like, as much as you can, but also just be, like, be nice, I would say, to, like, you know, people you work with. You know, don't be hard to work with.
No, I think that's a great fucking thing. I hardly ever hear that recommended. It's almost like if you've got a little bit of talent, you get to be a dick. Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't have to. I think people nowadays, we're fed up with, we're tired of that shit. You know,
like divas.
Yeah, divas. Like, we don't need divas. There's 100 everywhere. There's 100 million guitar players. You know, it's like, right, we'll get right. One of them.
And where can people find you on the internet?
www.derekdavemusic.com, and those are all my handles as well. And we go on YouTube.
I want to spell it for people. derekdavemusic.com.
Yes. .com.
Okay. That way, and probably there you got links to all the other shit, right?
Yep, got it all there. Everything.
Yeah. And this record's called Fine Lines.
Yep, yeah.
Why?
Yes, sir.
Why? I always ask about the name of a record.
It is fine. Well, the kind of concept of it is not being things that were once so clear become obscure, or, you know, how things, the clearest things can be so obscure. So it's just kind of like finding out that fine line and trying to understand what you or someone you're with wants, I suppose.
No. Well, there's a tune, of course. We played it earlier in the show, but that's like, don't assume. Things can be like full of stuff you might still have to find out.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially like in life, like we're just all like living beings. Like, it's a trip. Like, we're all just on this rock, and we're like living together. It's just anything can happen kind of thing, too.
No, that's fucking good stuff. Been a big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much, Derek, truly.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
People, it's been the February 12th, 2021 edition of WAP Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.